Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast episode, and we are so excited to have Lynn Shannon back with us today. So welcome, Lynn.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So we are excited because we jumped into your newest series, the Badge of Honor series, which currently has two books out and book three is coming in March, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the last couple of weeks, our listeners have listened to our discussion of Fractured Memories and Dangerous Lies. And I have to tell you, we loved them. We loved going back to the town where I can't remember the name of the town now, but where your Triumph Over Adversity series is based.
Knoxville? Oh my gosh, that's terrible. As the author, I don't even remember the team and the name of the town. That's terrible.
Well, I mean, goodness. To be fair, you've been bouncing between this series and your Ranger series, right?
Yeah, I have. That was a mistake I didn't intend to do, but the readers keep asking me to add on to the Ranger series. So I just keep popping back into it and adding onto it. And they take place in different towns. So then I have to go back and reorient myself when I go back to the other series, the Badge of Honor series. I have to reorient myself. I think it's Knoxville, but don't quote me on that.
I want to say that you are correct. And I was trying to look on the back of the first book to see if it says, but it doesn't say.
No, I don't think it does.
So, yeah. And how many more books do you have in this series then? Do you plan?
In the Badge of Honors will be six.
Okay. Perfect. We love them, by the way, just so you know, but we love all your books. I think you have a really good job with the pacing and the length, and you've got just enough suspense in there as well. Like we really enjoyed these.
Thank you.
A few twists in there too, as usual, which surprised us. Anything like, do you have a favorite character so far that you've written in that series?
Listen, I really love Felicity. You know, she's a spinoff from my Texas Ranger series, and I really love her. I love her as a character. I loved her and Noah as a couple. That friends to lovers trope, really, I love it. And I love them together as a couple, but I also love the case, like a cold case, to have witnessed a murder when you were a kid, to not remember exactly what happened, but to know that somewhere in the back of your mind, you could identify the killer, but also being scared to touch what happened. And, you know, she becomes a Texas Ranger. She works a lot of cases, and then she feels emotionally ready to tackle what happened to her as a kid and to catch the killer and finally put that to bed. And I love the idea that she works with her best friend in order to make it happen. Like, I think a lot of what happens to her and the fear that she had, it would be very different if Noah hadn't been by her side to help her work the case.
Yeah. I agree. And you tied in the Ranger series as well with it. Just a little bit.
Yes, a little bit. I try not to do too much crossover because I want readers to feel that they can read Fractured Memories without ever having picked up another one of my books and understand it completely. But I like the idea that, you know, we're all connected. Like all the characters in my books, a lot of them are connected. They're friends. They know each other. Sometimes they're related. So it's kind of nice to see them pop back in from other series into newer series. And I think the readers, you know, the readers who have read all the books, they actually say that they like it because it's like catching up with an old friend and finding out, you know, what kids they've had since we've seen them last. The problem as an author is you have to remember who has what kid and when.
I was just going to ask you if that is difficult, like as you go through to remember who has who.
Yes.
So I actually find it quite, we loved it. I would say when we read Fractured Memories, you didn't, it wasn't difficult without having read the Ranger series. Like you could pick it up and follow along just fine without that background, because I don't think we've done your Ranger series yet. I read the first couple, so that's how I knew there was a connection, but the others were just fine without having had that background information. So way to go. You accomplished what you wanted. When you think about your books, do you ever picture what actor or actress would play your leading roles?
No, I don't. I'm so sorry. I'm parked at the lake next to my house, near my parents' house, and there's a dog chasing a duck, and it caught the duck. And so now the owner is trying to get the dog. This is what happens in rural neighborhoods. The owner's trying to catch the dog to prevent him from catching the duck. Oh my God, I'm dying. I'm so sorry. That's hilarious. I mean, it's not
Okay, no,
hilarious. The
this
duck
is
is
perfect.
fine, but the duck is fine, but it's just I'm like watching the scene unfold in front of me as we're trying to have this very serious conversation about my book. So sorry.
I love it. And this is great. You can use that in a book sometime.
Yes, this is the kind of thing that you're like, okay, this is a book. I put this in a book sometime. That's hilarious. I'm so sorry. What was your question again?
No, you're totally okay. Have they successfully caught the dog?
Yes, they caught the dog. The duck is unharmed, but that was wild. It was a small dog. It wasn't like a big like lab. It was like a, I don't know, like a, not a Yorkie, but something not very much, not much bigger than a Yorkie. And I was surprised that it went after the duck because the duck was actually bigger than the dog. So, okay,
Interesting.
interesting.
Did I lose you? Are you still with me?
No. Okay. Are we still here?
There you are.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, I
Sorry.
can hear you. No, you're okay. So I was just curious if when you think about your books or as you're planning your books, do you ever?
Sorry.
You are okay. Not a problem.
We're never gonna get through this interview.
We
When
will
I
get
think about
through.
my books, if there's a actress or
Actor who
actor,
might play the role.
I don't. Sometimes I do go on stock photo sites and I will find a stock photo that I think matches. But it's kind of when you plan a series, you want all your characters to look different and to have just like you want them to have different backstories, you also want them to look different. And unfortunately, I haven't in the up until now planned out how many books would go into a series. So I typically don't plan out the names or the characteristics of each character. Now I'm starting to because I'm finding that that's problematic to not do it that way, that I should really number how many books I'm going to have and then come up with all the characters and typically their backstory and the tropes that I'm going to use, but I didn't start out that way. So then I have to go back and look and be like, okay, the main character had dark hair and dark eyes, so now this other main character, let's try and give him red hair and maybe blue eyes and different races, different ethnicities, different backgrounds. So I tend to plan as I go, which is a terrible way to do it.
Well, that's just the pantser way. There's a lot of people that do it that way. It's worked with for you so far, but when you were talking earlier about trying to pull in some of the characters from other series and trying to remember who has how many kids and whatnot, it probably does get difficult at that point.
Yeah, my goal is to not bounce between series anymore. I think that's also not great. I've done it 3 times now and I need to stop. So I want to like take a series, finish that entire series, and then go back to another series. I think some of it is that, I do tend to be reader focused. So I will pay attention when readers message me and they're like, when's the next story? Or I want more Rangers. Or, and I want them to be happy. So I'm writing the stories in large part for them. And so if they're asking me for a story, I'm like, okay, I can go back into that series and add more. I mean, I had a lot of people who were not happy when the Triumph Over Adversity series ended. Like they wanted more than 6 books. And I have had to resist the urge to go back and add more books to that series. So yeah, It's not really following the muse, it's more following what the readers want. And that can be problematic when I haven't planned for more books in the series, so I don't know who the characters are.
Yeah, it can be, but I've also just heard many times like that is the author's job is to write for their readers, and I think you do an excellent job doing that
Thank
for
you.
sure. So I will say, I know we'll add this at the end, but if you're not on Lynn's email list, you need to get on it and definitely get connected with her because she takes your feedback seriously.
And you get a free book. And you get a free book. So you can
Which
join, you
book do
get
you have?
it. It's the In Ranger Protection, which is the first book in my Ranger series. Grady the hero has a sister. His sister's story is the free book that you get. It's
Ooh.
Evanish.
So it's kind of like a little spin-off then.
A little. It's a little spin-off. It's just his sister appears in the Ranger Protection series, so I thought it would be fun to give her own book. I've noticed that a lot of people will reach out to me and ask me for characters to get their own books. I can't tell you how many people have reached out to tell me that Wes needs to get his own book from Fractured Memories. They've been like, does he get his own book? And he's Noah's brother. So like sometimes siblings, and he doesn't work for the police department. He's not connected other than to be Noah's brother, but they fell in love with him and they want him to have his own story. So I was like, I'm already thinking of what I'm going to do with Wes.
Yeah. Ooh, fun. Yeah, so that right there, guys, if you're listening, is just an example of how Lynn meets her readers' needs. Like she is listening to you. So
Very much.
I know, so you're only so at, when this episode comes out, you'll be getting ready to launch book three in the Badge of Honor series, which is Broken Silence. And do you have, I know you said you have three more books for this series, and then do you
Yes.
have thoughts on another series you're going to start after that? Or is it just like, I'm just trying to get Badge of Honor done right now?
No, I have a series that I'm planning for after Badge of Honor, which I think will be called the Justice Investigation series. I mentioned Justice Investigations in Triumph Over Adversity. They are friends with some of the members of that group, and I have been in the back of my mind plotting another military hero series and what I could do with it. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I think Wes is going to be connected to them too. So it's going to be a very interesting. I haven't done it all yet, but it's working in the back of my head.
And all of yours take place in Texas, correct?
Yeah. Usually small town. Not usually, always in small towns.
Okay. Because that's where you grew up, right?
So I grew up in a suburb outside of Houston, where in spring, where I grew up, when I was growing up, spring was pretty rural, not dirt roads, but my high school was in the middle of cow fields. So it was pretty rural. It does not look like that now at all. It has massively changed, but I like small towns. I like the familiarity of them. I like how everybody knows everybody, or most people know everybody. I like that feeling of family and connection and roots. So that typically shows up in all of my books. I often have family members who are heavily involved in the books. Somebody in my books always has a ranch. Either it's the heroine or the hero. They always have a farm or a ranch, or their grandparents have a farm. So it's very small town, rural, found family, connections, all of those are very instrumental in all my books. They all show up.
Which I think just helps the reader be drawn into the atmosphere, the way you've built the characters in there.
Yeah, I want them to feel like real people and that this town is real. Base, I usually will base the books off of real areas that I know. But I don't use the names of the actual towns that I will base them off of, usually because there could be a corrupt police officer, or there could be, a murder, or you don't want to besmirch a beautiful, lovely small town or a police department. So I always use fictional towns for and usually fictional locations for my settings. But you still have that small town feeling, which is what I
Right. And you've got to draw that from, you can pick a small town, like you said, but just switch it up, you know, so it reflects that town, but nobody knows it's that town type.
Yeah.
Thing, right. Yeah. And when you do research then, because you said you're going to do some, like right now you're working with a police department and you've done military and you're going to kind of go back into military and you've done Texas Rangers. How does your research look like in order to write things that are accurate? And when it comes to like the investigation and just the procedures and things, do you do a lot of research on that part?
I do. I was a lawyer before I became an author, and I worked both in family law and in criminal law. So I knew a lot of police officers. I took a lot of classes when I was initially started writing because I wanted to get procedure right. And I continue to take a lot of writing classes with police officers. It's really nice that police officers will teach the authors. There's some groups that you can belong to, like Facebook groups that are run by cops and emergency personnel, firefighters as well. They will answer amazing questions. They're amazing about being helpful. When I was doing research about the Texas Rangers, I actually reached out to the Texas Ranger Museum, and I have a thank you to the administrator who helped answer all my questions. Like I had questions about some of the things that they carry in their vehicles and how they would handle certain situations. And he was amazing at helping me out. And I'm drawing a blank on his name, but they're amazing. And so those resources are really helpful, and they want you to get it right because they, you know, don't want you to misrepresent how they do their job. And part of what I always try to do is be very respectful of police officers, of Texas Rangers. They have an extremely hard job, and they see the worst parts of humanity day in and day out. And most of them are extremely amazing people who just want to do a great job and protect the community. And that's how most of the police officers in my books are portrayed. Occasionally, there will be someone who has chosen the wrong path. But, you know, as we all hope in real life, in my books, there's always justice at the end. So the good cops always root out the bad cop and they send them on their way. They get arrested, they go to jail, and the good cops persevere because that's the point, that they want to do a good job. And I always want to portray that in my books, accuracy, and that police officers are great people just trying to do a really hard job.
I think you do a really good job of doing that, by the way, in case I'm sure others have told you that as well. No, I think you do portray them in a good light, but there is always a bad egg. I always say, like, where I'm in education and I'm like, you know, 80 to 90% of your teachers are really passionate and really are there for the kids. And then you've got some bad eggs in there. That's just the name of the game in any career, right?
That's life, right? That's usually life. You know, most people, I honestly believe that most people are good people who want the best for their families and their community. And there's always going to be a few people who are not like that. And so it's my job to portray those people as getting the justice that they do, you know, what they deserve in the end. We all wish that life, real life, was like that. Unfortunately, it's not. But at least in books, it can be. Love Yes. always wins. Justice always prevails. The murderer is always caught. That's one of the reasons why I love writing what I love, because justice always wins, and so does love. Yeah.
And in the end, it will, right? Like, that's just...
Yes.
We know that's how it's going to end in the end. So can you tell us a little bit about the storyline, the plot for Broken Silence? That's coming out in March.
So it's a married couple who are not married anymore, but they are reunited on a case around a baby. And I don't want to give too much away, but I love writing, again, like reunion romances. I do a lot of friends to lovers, and I do a lot of reunion romances. And I just love the idea of people falling in love, having something happen, as can happen, as it does, and they don't fall out of love, but they get lost. And then God finds a way to force them back together, and they rediscover that they actually do need each other and that they are meant for each other and that it's worth fighting for. Their relationship is worth fighting for. So that's going to pretty much be how Broken Silence will, those are the themes of Broken Silence.
Okay. So at the end of Dangerous Lies, there is a teaser for book three, and it does make you go, oh, because it's kind of shocking to find out that he has an ex-wife. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll leave it at that because I'm sure we're all going to be eager to get our hands on that when it comes out in March. So is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners about this series or any of your other books?
Nothing in particular. Thank you to my readers who support me. Love you guys. It's amazing that you guys have supported me so much, and it enables me to keep doing what I'm doing. And I hope that I'm bringing you great stories that you really love. And if you're a new to me reader, I hope you give me a try, and I hope you like the books.
Yes. And just for anyone listening, Lynn is new to you. She is an indie author, and she actually lives in Greece and is back in Texas every now and then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you can get her books on Amazon. And what are some other ways that they could then connect with you?
My books are available in paperback, in Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. You can connect with me on my website at lynnshannon.com, on Facebook, and on Instagram.
Okay. So lots of ways to connect. Obviously, she's shared in the interview all throughout, like, she listens to your feedback. So don't hesitate to reach out. Let her know what you love about the book and what characters you would love to have a story for in the future.
Yes. And even things that you didn't like about a book, because I will listen to that too. In the first three books of my Ranger series, the villain's point of view is included. And a lot of readers reached out to me and said that they didn't like having the villain's point of view. They didn't like being in his head. And so I stopped. So none of my books from that point on have the villain's point of view. So I do listen to my readers. It's very important to me. If I hear something 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, I take it very seriously and I will respond.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Lynn, for being a responsive author to your readers like that. It's rare to find, I feel like most authors try, but I also think the indie route helps you a little bit in that department too, because you're not writing to what the publisher wants.
For sure. Yeah, I think I'm able to do it. I'm able to be more flexible because I am indie, and I'm able to be more responsive to the readers because I don't have an editor that I have to answer to. I answer to readers. That's basically the end of the day. That's who I answer to, is the readers. My job is to give them the books that they want, and the books that they're asking for from me, ones that are filled with, you know, danger and suspense and romance and faith. And it's my job to keep providing them with that. And if somehow I misstep or whatever I'm doing that I'm doing right that they want more of, I want to give it to them.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Lynn, for joining us again here on the Literary Escape podcast. And I have no doubt that we'll have you back on in the future as well.
I love being with you guys. It's amazing. And thank you so much for reading my books.
Of course. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.